Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Hudson Valley Climate Solutions Week, with events occurring in person and online, is currently underway. It ends September 24th. A virtual panel presentation entitled Securing Our Right to a Healthy Climate, Legal Strategies and Voices for the Turnaround Generation is taking place September 22nd from 4:30 to 5:30. The panel, hosted by Sustainable Hudson Valley, will discuss legal strategies to secure rights to a healthy environment. In August, young people in Montana won a landmark case against the state's fossil fuel production. The teenagers called production a violation to their rights to a healthy environment, which is laid out in Montana's state constitution. That right is also in the New York state constitution. Maya Van Rossum is founder of the Green Amendment for the Generations Movement. She'll be part of the panel that will be taking place on the 24th, and she joins us this morning. Maya, thank you very much for being with us. What a pleasure to have you.
Thanks so much for having me to talk about this important strategy for moving forward.
Well, how did it become a good strategy? In other words, you learned that it would work.
I learned that it would work. Well, that actually goes back just over a decade. In my role also at serving as the Delaware Riverkeeper and leader of an advocacy litigation organization that protects the Delaware River, we had been battling against fracking for a long period of time. And in 2012, the Pennsylvania legislature, which was a very pro-industry legislature at the time, still is, passed a law that was excruciatingly pro-fracking, and it was going to allow fracking in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to expand exponentially because it put in place automatic waivers from environmental protection standards for the industry. It mandated that communities allow fracking operations to happen in the heart of residential communities as close as 300 feet from homes and hospitals, playgrounds, daycare centers, schools, and more. And it did other things. And the long and the short of it was that it was going to make it even easier for the fracking industry to frack in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We knew that we had to challenge this law that was passed by the legislature and signed by the governor. But the question was, how were we going to do that in the courtroom? And I and my team recognized that actually in the Pennsylvania Constitution, there was a long ignored constitutional right of the people to pure water, clean air, and a healthy environment, and a constitutional obligation on the state to protect the state's natural resources for the benefit of present and future generations. We challenged that law as being a violation of those constitutional rights and obligations. And in the end, we were victorious, even though the Pennsylvania Supreme Court that rendered the ultimate decision was an excruciatingly conservative Supreme Court. They recognized that the plain language of the Constitution made clear that this law could not stand. And so we were victorious. In the wake of that victory, I really looked at Pennsylvania's constitutional language to figure out why it was so strong as compared to other states. And I identified what I call my Green Amendment criteria. I then looked at every state across the nation, every state constitution across the nation, and I found that there was only one other state at the time, Montana, who had a constitutional environmental right of this kind. And I decided that it was time to change that, and so have been working ever since to help communities nationwide to seek and secure passage of these kinds of constitutional green amendments, as I call them. And as you indicated in the opening, we actually got one passed in the state of New York just under 2 years ago.
What does that spell for, do you think, for the future of how this now plays out? When you get this up and running, of what it's capable of achieving?
Well, the thing is, it's a constitutional entitlement, right, is taking the strongest legal tool we have here in the United States of America, our state and federal constitutions, and putting them to work for the fundamental right, the human right, that is the right to clean water, clean air, a safe climate, and healthy environments. And because the Constitution stands above the law and above all government action, it and is when properly written, framed, and placed in the Bill of Rights section of the Constitution, is an entitlement, a right that actually belongs to the people and that the people can enforce when government infringe upon it. We really are transforming the legal landscape so that every time government acts, whether it's passing a law or a regulation or issuing a permit or more, they become constitutionally bound to protect the environmental rights of the people of that state, as well as the natural resources. And if they don't, then, you know, the people can take action to try to remedy the problem. This is a new pathway for protection. Now, Pennsylvania and Montana have had their entitlements for a number of decades now, but they really only got legal life in the last 20 or so years. And of course, New York is very fresh. It's less than 2 years old. So this is a new area of environmental rights protection that's now coming to pass. But that being said, we have had a number of successes through advocacy and through litigation that are really demonstrating how a constitutional right to a clean, safe, and healthy environment can make a difference for communities who are suffering the impacts of pollution and degradation. And now, as you indicated, because of the Montana case, and now that there's a new tool to help us deal with the climate crisis, although that pro-fracking law, of course, that we defeated also had implications for a growing climate crisis.
What are the chances of this becoming the law of the land eventually?
So our goal at Green Amendments for the Generations is to get a green amendment in every state constitution across the nation and then ultimately at the federal level. The way environmental law works in the United States, right, the states actually have a lot of power when it comes to environmental protection, and the federal government has a lot of power. It's sort of a power-sharing situation. And so we really need green amendments, these constitutional entitlements, at both the state level and the federal level. So I want to start there because we're going to need both. It's not going to be good enough to just get a federal constitutional green amendment or state green amendments. We need them both. But, you know, if we were to try to get a federal amendment right now today, we wouldn't succeed. And that's not just because of the difficulty of the politics of the day, but that's because most people have not really heard about this pathway for environmental protection. Most people actually think that existing environmental laws protect their environmental rights, and that's just fundamentally not true. So we need to be educating people, organizing people, right, pulling them together to work together to get a federal green amendment ultimately. And that's going to take time to do all of that work. And I figure strategically, and this is why I have crafted the Green Amendment movement to be state focused first. Strategically, it just makes sense to go state by state, educating and organizing communities to get state green amendments so they can learn why they're important, how they work, and experience the benefits of having this kind of constitutional entitlement, so that we are also we're getting those protections, but at the same time, we're preparing our communities and our movement to ultimately pursue a federal green amendment. So I think we'll get there. It's just we've got some work to do, and that work's going to start at the state level first.
It's Hudson Valley Climate Solutions Week, and the event we're talking about takes place September 22nd from 4:30 to 5:30, entitled Securing Our Right to a Healthy Climate, Legal Strategies and Voices from the Turnaround Generation. Tell us a little bit about the panel and what will be discussed.
So, you know, it is a diverse and exciting panel. We're going to really be focusing on how we can secure pathways for transformational change. Of course, I'm going to be there talking about the Green Amendment movement, but then there are other panelists, including youth leaders, who are going to talk about their efforts for helping to try to transform environmental protection and use new tools, their strategies for helping to address the climate crisis. And so I think if people come and, you know, come and attend this forum, they're going to get some new ideas, some new information about how we can really work together to make meaningful change when it comes to addressing the climate crisis. And I think that they're going to be inspired by the youth panelists as well as the good ideas. I know I'm not a youth panelist, but I always consider myself the youngest person in the room. So I think people are going to really be excited by the new information, the new ideas, and I think about by the great energy that the panelists are going to bring to the discussion.
And how does this, I mean, this is one effort in obviously to tackle a huge issue. And I guess I'm curious as to how you see it fitting in with other efforts to try to get the whole idea of saving us continuing and going and becoming more of a part of our daily agenda.
So if we're going to address the climate crisis, but truthfully, if we're going to really lift up environmental justice so that it is powerful and meaningful for the communities that are challenged because of their race, their ethnicity, their socioeconomic status, if we're going to help communities who are burdened by polluted water and contaminated air and being forced to live next to toxic sites, then we really need to continue to have an all hands on deck strategy, right? We need to be battling against those bad industrial operations that are being proposed. We need people to vote to get good people into office that really care about the environment and want to take swift and meaningful action to address the climate crisis and environmental racism and make environmental protection a key priority of all government decision making. We need people protesting and advocating. We need to be doing everything that we're doing now. But we also need to be transforming our system of law and governance. The fact of the matter is that here in the United States of America, when it comes to environmental protection, our laws are not focused on preventing pollution, degradation, or harm. They're actually focused on legalizing it. You get the right permit from the right agencies after the right reviews, and you can go forth and spew really serious levels of contamination into the water, into the air, decimate critical ecosystems, and of course contribute to the climate crisis. So we have to transform that system so that all of our activism that we're taking on can be even more successful, because now we will have the Constitution on our side and we will be talking about an enforceable right of the people. We won't simply be enforcing environmental laws that were developed through a political system where really the ultimate language is determined by the politicians and industries who are lobbying them, and end up with the weakest language necessary to get the bill passed, because they can get all the votes that are needed, you know, from the whatever legislature is at play, right? That the laws have made important progress, but at this point they've stagnated because of the way our political system operates. So we need this greater transformational power where the environmental protection is an entitlement of the people that can be enforced when this political system fundamentally fails us, right? So it's got to be all hands on deck, but I don't think that we're ever going to get to properly addressing the climate crisis, environmental racism, or essential environmental protection if we don't transform our Constitution so that the right to clean water, clean air, a safe climate, and healthful environment are fundamental rights of the people, enforceable by the people.
We have only about a minute left, but I just want to touch on your title of the generations movement of the younger generation. And I mean, this is, we talk about this all the time, but how do they ultimately provide you hope as to what can happen?
Well, so the organization is Green Amendments for the Generations, and it really is about everybody at every, you know, every generational level getting involved to secure this critical transformational change. Because it's not going to work if it's just the young, the middle-aged, the older. We all need to be doing this together. And for the young people, even if they can't vote, there is a powerful place for them in this Green Amendment movement. I mean, we have in some of our states, some of our best leaders fighting for Green Amendments are high school students, with their power and their passion and really inspiring us all with how deeply they care about the environment and how deeply they care about securing critical change for the benefit of everybody.
Again, the event is taking place on September 22nd from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. It's part of Hudson Valley Climate Solutions Week. The virtual panel entitled Securing Our Right to a Healthy Climate, Legal Strategies and Voices from the Turnaround Generation. To learn more about it and to get the link, you go to HVClimateSolutionsWeek.org, HVClimateSolutionsWeek.org. Maya Van Rossum, I thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks for helping to pass along this important message.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.